And moms makes you think of your own mom, right? Also makes you think of your spouse, if you're a husband. And really grateful for my wife, a godly lady who is leading, helping me lead our family well. And so I really appreciate that. But I think about my own mom a bit this morning. And my mom passed away about 2.5 years ago. And she was just a wonderful lady. There are two sides to my mom, and she's gone now, and she's in heaven, and so she'll be okay with me sharing these sides, I'm sure. But I hope, just in giving a little bit of an honest view, and then pointing us to Scripture through that, that maybe it'll encourage you, mom, that are here today, and maybe if you're not even a mom, this it'll speak to you. Being a mother is probably one of the most, if not the most, difficult things on the planet. Right? There is so much expected of you, and in and of itself, motherhood demands that you say to Jesus, to yourself, to the world around you, I don't come first, right? Because it's just constant, the demands and the expectations. And motherhood is a beautiful thing, but not all moms possess the beauty of motherhood, right? Because there's a battle and a wrestling in all of our souls because of the presence of sin that pushes us to say, my life is about me, right? Instead of about Jesus and the others around us. And so there's such a high demand for that attitude of, I lay down my life for others in motherhood because it's so demanding, that a couple of things can happen. One, the person can step into that and own that, right? Or the other, they can react a bit. And they can be focused on themselves and then they just get swamped, covered. So my remembrance of my mom and kind of the first half of my relationship with her, she was overcome quite often by the challenges and the stress of life and motherhood. She went through some hard things in life and you know, humanly speaking, like, very understandable that she struggled with a lot of things. And so I remember her being short-tempered, right? Frustrated with us, not all the time, right? But there was those waves and patterns coming in. But something happened to my mom when I was 18. She knew Jesus, she loved Jesus, and she was wrestling to step into that relationship deeper. But she got cancer when I was 18. And what happened was God just totally shook her to the fiber of her being. And through that battle, her focus totally changed. So instead of focusing on the struggles that she had experienced and was experiencing, she got her mind off of all of those things and looked to the Lord Jesus. And as she looked at to Jesus more and more as the days and years went by, God replaced so much of that frustration and bitterness with just this beauty of true joy. And as we celebrated my mom's life at her funeral, amazing things happened. Because people heard, some of them for the first time, that being a Christian meant more than just going to church. It meant having a real relationship with the God of the universe. A real relationship with Jesus, who loved us enough to come to this earth and die on the cross for us. And that's the way that she lived, right? Like, she was the best grandma I've ever seen. She, with detail, would just pour herself into all of her grandkids' lives so that she would study them and know them and be able to love them and care for them and help them, each one of them specifically. She would pray for them and bless them with gifts and time and all kinds of things. She looked at us as kids, and even though we had times of great failure to her, she just constantly loved us, right? And would speak to us about her relationship with Jesus and help us grow. And she took in all of our spouses, my sibling and myself and my sibling spouses, and just, you know, brought them into her kind of little nest and just continued to love and love and love. And so many other people saw it too. And wonderful things happen as a result of her life being on display. And we give God the glory for that. And we praise Him for that. But what I want to speak to you in about 10 to 15 minutes Is this the reality of living a joy-filled life? Okay? That's the difference, really, between motherhood that thrives, right, and motherhood that's just struggling. Is the ability to have joy no matter what the circumstances, no matter what's going on, no matter what the struggle of life may be. And so when we think of joy, it's defined this way. I have three definitions. Joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. Think of that word contentment. That really needs to settle in your mind. Here's another definition. Joy is cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness. And this last one, joy is a deep contentment and rest that produces gladness. Different than happiness, right? Happiness is kind of this wonderful surface level thing, whether it's tittering little girls in my house all playing and teasing each other, right? Or me celebrating when Montreal actually wins a game. Right? But joy is different. Joy is something that is right inside of you, right? And it comes out from within. And then it's this constant thing because it's so wrapped up in contentment, right? That it just rides the waves of life and doesn't get knocked off course. So that leads us to our first passage in the book of James, chapter 1. New Bible, so it takes me a few more minutes to get where I need to be. When I was in Sunday school, I don't remember if there was a song about it, but it was taught over and over again. That the recipe, right, or the condition for joy is Jesus, others, and you. So easy to remember, right? You guys remember that from Sunday school? Jesus, others, and you. It spells the word if you're not following. But that's how we find joy. And when we think of this first reality of Jesus, right? This beautiful person, God, who came down to earth as a man to live a life of perfection and then sacrifice as he died on the cross and then rose again, taking the punishment of all of our sins so that he could give us his righteousness if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, right? Our Savior, our Redeemer. And our first focus for every moment of the day must be Jesus. He is our hope, right? He is our salvation. And salvation from eternal damnation and hell, but salvation from ourselves and our selfishness every day. And this is a beautiful passage that talks to us, James chapter 1, about how true joy comes from surrendering our focus of, right, I am the center of the universe, to Jesus is the center of the universe no matter what happens. And then the liberty and the freedom that our hearts find in him. Let me read it to you. James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, or my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Do you hear the call there? The call is to have joy when we meet trials of various kinds. Do you know what often our response is right, mom and everybody else in this room, our natural human response, because of the sin that lives inside of us, when we meet a trial, and that's something, an obstacle in life, right, a challenge that we don't want to be there, something that makes life difficult. It could be a person, it could be finances, it could be sickness, it could be anything. And our natural response is to say, this is bad, I hate this, poor me, I want to bury my head in a pillow, whatever. I need to find an escape from this trial. God, why are you allowing this trial? I should not have to go through this trial, not another trial. Haven't I already had too many? And yet, James, knowing the reality of the human heart and knowing the salvation that's found in Jesus, he says to us, look at trials, look at the difficulties of life, and choose to have joy in them, because here's why. When we go through a trial and we sense that resentment, that struggle well up inside us, when we see our reaction to this negative situation and we say, I'm not getting my way and I don't like it, what it does is it shows us our wrong focus, right? It shows us that deep heart attitude that says, Ryan, right, or mom in this room, what you're focused on right now is yourself and what you want. And so when we see that through the trial, then we can release that. We can submit to a God who's in control and know that he loves us and he's brought this into our lives or allowed this to happen in our life for a purpose, that he's got a plan in it, and then we can trust him in it. And we can let go of our attitude that says, I don't like this, why me? And then we can say, yes, Lord. Think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready for the cross, the greatest trial in all of humanity. And he is so heavy with emotion, but in the end he releases and he says, not my will, but yours be done. Right? That's the key for us. To look at the trial and say, okay, I can have this deep contentment and a calmness in it because Jesus is in control. And I release my need to have what I want, and I say what you want instead. Amazing things happen, right? What it does is it sets us free. And what could be something that produces bitterness in our life, instead, it just brings a deeper sense of confidence in God, which produces joy. So that's Jesus. Others. Let's turn a few chapters over to chapter 4. We focus on Jesus. We say, I want you and your will for my life, no matter what the circumstances. And it resets our focus and our heart to where it needs to be. In James chapter 4, we're going to kind of flip this around, because it describes the heart that looks at other people and says, you specifically, my relationship with you is about you making me happy. Struggle with this big time, maybe more than anybody else in the room. And in James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Are you there? James 4, 1. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Mom, do you struggle with conflict with the people around you? Ask your kids. They might give you a good answer, an honest answer. You need to do some soul searching if conflict is a regular part of your life. Because James here says, what causes quarrels and fights? It's your, that we've already been talking about, your attitude, your desire to have your own way, to want what you want. And so what's the flip side of that? When we follow Jesus, when we trust in him, he rescues us from that domination of sin in our life, right? He takes that attitude and he injects his truth into it. And we have his example, but we also have the Holy Spirit living inside us. And the death and the resurrection of Jesus are at work to make us brand new creatures, right? It says in Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And so now we have this teaching in the book of Matthew, where the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? That's Jesus. And then love your neighbor as yourself, that's others. And so the message of Jesus, the reality of Jesus in our life, it flips things around so that when we look at people, although sin in us will say, I'm going to fight you till you give me what I want, now Jesus, working through the Holy Spirit in our lives, looks at the people around us and says, I am here to give you what you need. Right? I am here to lay down my life just like Jesus laid down his life for you and say, I am here to sacrifice, right? To not focus on my needs and my desires, but my life is about everyone around me, especially those that God has entrusted to your care. And so when that happens, people stand in awe. Right? That faithful servant, that faithful mom that just keeps giving and giving and giving, that mom who knows Jesus can be this beautiful testimony of the power of God to change a life, just like my mom, right? And when people say, how can they handle it, right? So much struggle, so much hurt, so much, and yet they still have a smile on their face. They still have peace in their hearts. They're not bitter. How is this possible? And then that mom, or those who know the mom, can say, it's because they have Jesus. And he's enabled them to see that their life is about serving others. So Jesus, others, and then you. Let's go back to James chapter 1. In verse 2, we read 2 and 3. And we're going to continue down to verse 5 now. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, and unstable in all of his ways. See this person who looks at trials, right, and looks at their life and says, why me? It's all about me. And they just aren't with confidence trusting in God in this. And they live a foolish life absorbed in themselves. And they are just this roller coaster ride, right? Driven by the waves, it says, tossed. They're a double-minded man. All of these are not very strong qualities, right? And so if we are in that place where we feel ourselves being tossed around by the circumstances of life, then we can see that there is hope for change, right? If we focus on Christ and then love others as we love ourselves, then what happens is we can step into our circumstances and have joy and confidence in God and his plan for our life. And instead of the roller coaster ride, tossed around, right? Then there's this steadiness in your soul. There's peace in your soul. There's stability for your soul. I want that. Do you want it? We can have it. The next thing in Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 to 7. We so need this. We need it personally. We need it in relationships. We need it in the world around us. Look at verse 4 with me of Philippians 4. Did I say Philippians? Okay, thank you. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, right? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is what's for us, right? Available to us if we trust in Jesus and say, your will, not mine. You, not me. Then we can just run to him with every problem, right? And say, I need you, God. I can't handle this. I want it to change, but I'm just going to trust in you. Help me to accept this, Lord. Carry me through this. And what happens as we do that, faithfully, wrestling with it, not letting it overtake us, what happens is the peace that surpasses understanding begins to drive away the anxiousness, the fear, and it replaces it so that we are able to walk in this calm, right? In the middle of the storm, with this peace, no matter what the struggle is. Finally, Galatians chapter 5. This is so important because you can say, you can walk away from today saying, joy, yeah, okay, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to be a happy person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you'll probably last like 15 minutes. And you'll be grumpy. Right? Something will happen. You'll wake up in the morning and the situation that you expected is just not as it is. And you will just fall flat. But if you, with a steady heart, pursue the Lord Jesus, his Holy Spirit will fill you. And then the fruit of the Spirit will flow through you and settle in you. I'm in Ephesians, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become... That's not the verse that I wanted. Just a second. Back to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit... I should have just quoted it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Right? What we're talking about here is a supernatural joy. Not just fluffy, artificial happiness, putting the smile on your face when you don't feel like it. What we're talking about is God's power, the supernatural power of God that breathed stars into existence, that rose Jesus from the dead, will live inside of you and give you a real, lasting, supernatural, divine joy. That's what I want, right? That's what mom, your kids need. That's what you can enjoy personally and live in it. And all of this is possible, right? If we look to Jesus and love him and trust him. If we look at others and say, I'm here to serve you. And then if we settle into the power of God working in us, Jesus, others, you, to transform you in these ways. Let's close in prayer. God in heaven, we thank you. You are so good to us, and we ask that you will give us strength to be changed by your Spirit in this way. Help us to adjust our focus, to follow these passages of Scripture that we have studied this morning. And I pray, Lord, for the blessing for the moms themselves, that they will have joy, and for the families, that the beauty of Christ will shine into them and then through them, and that more people will come to Jesus as a result.